Thank you, Richard. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We'll read verses 19 through 24. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall come shortly. As I read these verses and as I try to comprehend what Paul intends for the Philippians to understand, I think some of them I understand very well, and some of them I hope I have not experienced, and if I have, I am not aware of it. First of all, I understand that Paul is in prison at Rome, and he's very much concerned about the people in Philippi. There's a reason for that, because he has been in their midst, and he has taught them. In Acts, the 16th chapter, you'll read where he came to Philippi, and this is, of course, where the Philippian jailer was saved. Paul knows these people very well, and he thinks of them. He thinks about them while he is in prison. And as I thought about this concept, I consider that sometimes we are unaware that people are also thinking of us. I remember very well World War II and the V-mail, not email, but V-mail, V for victory, that we received. It had been oftentimes things crossed out. They came through an office where they didn't let you write about where you were and what was happening to you many times. But I know that my mother, my dad, and our family was very concerned about my brother, who was overseas in Patton's infantry. And as I talked with him after the war, I told him, well, my dad and mother prayed for you, and we were all concerned about you and how things were going with you. And he said, well, I thought about y'all. Even sometimes after a very ferocious battle, I knew I was well, but I wondered about y'all. I wondered if mother and dad were okay. Wondered if the crops were growing. Wondered about you, my little brother. And that opened my eyes to the fact that oftentimes people who are away from home and even in prison, that they think of their loved ones. And I believe that's what was happening to Paul here. He had heard from them because they had sent him an offering. Paul knew that these people loved him and that were deeply concerned about his physical condition. But Paul was concerned about them. And he was concerned enough about their condition that he was going to send Timothy to visit them and to tell them of his estate. He said, I want him to come shortly, and that he may also be of good comfort when I know your state. So he's expecting that Timothy can tell the people at Philippi about Paul and his circumstances and what's happening as far as his ministry is concerned. We all know that Paul is still witnessing and preaching and teaching. And even the soldiers who hear him preach and teach are sometimes converted and become missionaries as they are stationed in other parts of the world, particularly in places like London, where they had a fortress, and in Wales. But he said, I want to know about you, and I want you to know about me, and I'll be comforted, and I hope you're comforted when he comes. And then he writes, for I have no man like-minded. And I suppose that's because Timothy was the only one there with him who was visiting him regularly and knew all about his state, as Paul says, who will naturally care for your state. This word like-mindedness is a word that means same soul or so very dear to me. He says, I don't know of anyone that I could send other than Timothy who thinks like I do and who is so very near to you and to me, who will naturally care for your state. And the word naturally means a son or person who's born in the state of marriage. That is someone who is related in blood and related in our thoughts and related in what we love and what we want to come to pass. And then he makes the statement, for I have no man. And that's probably because, as I said, someone's not there. But verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And I think of that in the context of who can we trust? Who can we find trustworthy? Remember that Paul has been preaching for years. No doubt he has many, many men who've been converted under his ministry. He has taught many people in almost all of the known world, all around the Mediterranean Sea. And yet Paul is thinking that these people generally are thinking about themselves and not thinking about the things which are Jesus Christ. That's an astounding statement to make. And you almost want to ask, Paul, is this true? You said all seek their own. I don't know who he's talking about. Is it all of the others that happen to be in Rome, or is it all the others that he has come to know, like Demas, whom Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. As best we can tell, Demas returned to the faith and became a useful man of God. But in your life, I ask you, who do you trust? Who can you trust 100% with everything you are and ever have been? Who could you lay that before and say, I lay this before you, and walk away knowing that it would be accomplished? Now, I'm not talking about legal work, wills and things of that nature. I'm just talking about the handshake. Is humanity that so far removed from what's right and good that Paul is thinking and saying, you know, Timothy, I can trust him, but it seems to me that these other guys, you can't trust them because they're looking for what is their own and not looking after the things of Christ. And I think of my own personal experiences with so many young men and older men in ministry that I taught for so many years, and it never really entered my mind. But I've seen so many do, as Paul has said, make shipwreck of their faith. And I wonder, and I think I can see something of Paul's heart and his soul being disturbed here, but I think I can also see an encouragement that comes from these words, that there is someone I can trust. There is someone who is legitimately born, in the sense that he cares for your state. He cares for what condition the church is experiencing, what they experience in Philippi. I know that he cares about you. And he's not like others who seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Our forefathers often were placed in jails. And while they were in jail, they had to suffer not only for themselves, but the consequences of what they had done had to be suffered with their families. I'm thinking of a man who lived in the 1660s and 1670s, who was a preacher and a writer. And I read what was supposed to be, and I do not have any reason to doubt it, his trial before a judge. And in talking to this Baptist preacher who had been in jail once and was going back to jail if he didn't recant what he believed, he said, "Do you not realize that you have a family at home?" And he said, "I do." "Do you not realize that one of your family members, your daughter, who's at that time 8 years old, that she is blind? Do you not realize that?" "I do." "All you have to do is just tell me that you will not preach anymore until you receive a license from the state." And he said, "I cannot promise that." And so he would never promise that he wouldn't preach anymore, because he realized that the state would never grant him a license because he was not from the state church. And so they sentenced him to 6 more years in prison. And I can imagine him there thinking about his family. And I can imagine his family thinking about him. And I'm thinking, are there not people within this framework of this circumstance that are going to help care for his daughter, to help care for his wife and for his other children? Surely there are people that are going to do that. And I will reiterate what I've said about God's work. And it has been a part of my life and a part of who I am. And that is, the work of God has to be built on trust and love. If you cannot trust a person, then you don't need to lean on them. If missionaries cannot be trusted, you don't need to send them out, people. And you say, "Well, we'll check up on them. We'll find out what they're doing. We'll let them know that we'll send someone occasionally that they don't know, and they'll come back and tell us, then we'll rebuke them." People who cannot be trusted can form a framework by which they can prove to you they can be trusted. We don't call people dishonest because they're honest. They're dishonest because they're dishonest. And you say, "Well, they're just dishonest occasionally." Well, that's what Paul's talking about here. Paul said, "I don't have people in mind right now that I could wholeheartedly, without any kind of wondering and thinking, that I could just turn this mission over to." Now, Timothy, I know he'll go and do what I ask him to do, that he'll come back and tell me what I need to know. But I can't think of a lot of other people that can do that. If there is a Timothy, If there is a Timothy that can be trusted, then we ought to thank God for it and trust that person. And we ought to be grateful for that person. I believe there are men and women and even teenage children in this congregation that can be trusted. I believe that we have a missionary in Las Casas, Tennessee that can be trusted. I don't know what the work will turn out to be, but I know one thing, it will not turn out to be something that he did that was untruthful or undercover or that we'll ever be ashamed of. Because Brother Wilkinson has character, and I trust him. Matt, I trust you. I trust you. We ought to be proud that we have a young man, his wife and child, that we can trust. I trust these men in our congregation. I trust the women in our congregation. And if, as we all do, you fail, our love will be deep enough and open enough that we will love you and forgive you. Because I want you to feel that way, because I want to be forgiven if I fail. It's a matter of laying a framework for my own failure. But nothing hurts any more than to have promises made and have those promises broken. And I think Paul has had that happen to him many times. And so he's sending a man who will naturally, it's his very nature to care for you. I like that. That we as born again Christians, it is our nature to care for one another. Paul continues, concerning Timothy, you know the proof of him. That is, you have evidence that this man can be trusted. I have evidence that this man can be trusted. For he has served, or rather as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Now, there's not anything that will test people's fellowship, friendship, and trustworthiness more than being involved in the work of God. We have so many things to test us, to tempt us, to carry us aside, to distract us. We categorize certain groups that cannot be trusted. Brother Gerald, I'm not going to name one of them, okay? I won't say that. I'll say insurance salesman. Brother John Calloway, who was a first treasurer of our church and was treasurer until he passed away. I was visiting with a man and his wife and family who visited our congregation. And he said, Brother Penn, I'll tell you what, I'll join your church, but he said, I hope you don't have any teachers that are insurance salesmen. And Brother Calloway was the head of an insurance agency here, and he taught the adult class. I didn't promise him anything, but I didn't let the secret out about John's profession. They didn't join. I don't know why, but they didn't join. You know, sometimes politicians, I don't know how they ever earned the reputation of being untrustworthy. I am being facetious, okay? I mean, surely you know that. But aren't our lives so complicated and misery compounded when we find out that someone we trusted cannot be trusted any longer? They can't be trusted with the doctrines of God. They can't be trusted with the gospel of Christ. Because we find out they seek their own. They're not preaching. just because they're called to preach and because they love God, but there's another motive. And it's difficult for preachers not to want to see big crowds and to be praised for who they are and what they do. It's the very worst thing that can ever happen to us, is to be successful in the world's idea of success. So I think this was a heartache that Paul felt so deeply in the lonely hours, the dark days of his imprisonment. Paul said, I want you to know that I've seen the proof. Well, just like a father and son business, and that's the figure of speech. Not just a father and son, but a father and son in business together. I know him, because he has served with me in the gospel. I had a fellow one time who came to Cave City. I don't know why he felt that way, but he said, Brother Penn, if you ever think about leaving Cave City, would you call me and let me know so I can come up and visit around in the community? And he said, and if you need a church and I've left, I'll show you, I'll do the same thing for you. And this church was down the Delta next to a prison farm, and I wasn't really interested in going there. But try, just, it's so commercial. Let's just swap pulpits. Where's God in all this? Where's the Holy Spirit in all this? That two preachers then preaching the gospel, drinking coffee, okay, Will, I'll swap this church for your church. It's kind of like a franchise, you know. I got this franchise, and I'll trade you my franchise for your franchise. Thank God we can rarely ever fool the people that way. Every church I preached at that I thought they'd surely call me, they never even nominated me. And churches that I preached at and said, they'll never call me and I don't care, call me. Betty and I drove away from Forest City one Sunday night. We were so disappointed in their behavior, their attitude, and everything else. Both of us more or less agreed, we hope to God they don't call us. But they did. Stayed there 7.5 years. I mean, what I'd like you to see, that being in the gospel together doesn't guarantee anything, because we're men in the flesh. Paul said, him therefore I hope to send presently. Do you notice Paul never commits himself? Shortly, presently, as soon. And he said, now I want him to come. I'll send him so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. He said, well, is Paul being a little selfish here? Because Philippi is the only church that's keeping him in offering so that he can have food and extra clothing. Paul said, send Timothy up there. He's going to send me word whether I can still depend upon you people to help, to keep supporting me. But he said, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. In other words, I'm going to send Timothy shortly. I'm hoping to come shortly, so our arrival dates may just be a few days apart. That's what Paul really wanted, to be out of that jail, to be able to go to Philippi, to meet these people and to love these people and for them to love him. Who's trustworthy? Yes, there are people that are trustworthy. We have to believe that, people. We have to believe that we can trust one another, that we can love one another and care for one another, and that we care about what happens to this congregation, we care what happens to this church, that we have a natural instinct because we've been born again that we want it to be the best, not the biggest. I don't care about big or little. Doesn't bother me either way. I just care about it being the grandest in character and love and nature and fruit of the Spirit. Let's stand and sing.